So our first reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The next reading, from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rick. Right, I'm asking the children to stay in the seats, not because they can switch off now, but because I want them to help the adults with a little quiz. We've got to Jerusalem and now we're heading to Bethlehem. But not everyone went to Bethlehem. Herod certainly didn't. And sadly, neither did the chief priests or teachers. They knew that this new child, this new king, was born in Bethlehem. They told Herod. Herod told the wise men, and he told them to go and find the king. But why didn't the people of Jerusalem say, "Hooray, the king we've been waiting for hundreds of years is just down the road in Bethlehem"? Bethlehem's not far, 6 miles, get there easily in the morning. They didn't go. And sadly, so many people don't go to Bethlehem to find the king. But there's things we can do to help them find the king. Because if it's worth going to Bethlehem, 6 miles, it's worth helping other people find where Jesus is. If you think about it, we don't know an awful lot about the wise men. We know they left their home somewhere. But who were they? No one knows. How many of them were there? Anyone like to tell me? Why were there three? We've read Matthew, we've looked at it two or three times. Nowhere does it say three wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. Do we know their names? People have come up with all sorts of strange names, Melchior and Caspar and things like that. We don't know their names. The Bible doesn't tell us their names. In fact, the Bible tells us very little about them. Did they come on camels? We don't know. Which country did they come from? We know they came from the east, so they were outside the Roman Empire, but they knew to come to Jerusalem. Where they came from, we do not know. But in one sense, does it matter? We've got the Bible written for us, inspired by God. Matthew tells us this story, not because we need to know about the wise men, but we maybe need to know what it was they were doing. And the reading we had from Philippians will help us understand what it was that is important to learn from the wise men. Because we know right at the start, they knew they were coming to worship. They didn't come on a visit. They didn't come on a tourist trip to Jerusalem to see what the king was like. They didn't go and stand outside the hospital while the baby was being born and wave a flag. They came to worship. So what do we learn about the worship of the wise men? And to do this, I've got a little quiz. You might want to look at your song sheet because it refers to some of the songs we've sung or we're going to sing. We might want to look at the readings as well as we go. So if you'd like to help the children, the first way in which the wise men worshipped begins with O, ends with MTLY, 10 letters. And the hint is we're going to be singing this song in a few minutes. And it's a song the children know. I'm following the king. I'm ready to obey. They came obediently. These unknown men, we know they're men, they came from a strange country obediently. They followed a star, and when they found out from God's word where they needed to go, they were obedient in following. And if you read what Paul writes to the Philippians, he recommends them for being obedient. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation. The wise men were obedient, and we can be obedient to God's word, to God's calling on our lives. And if we do that, God works in you to will and act to fulfill his good purpose. So if we're obedient to God, that's what God wants us to be. The wise men did what God wanted them to do. God put a star in the sky, which no one can explain, which led them to look for a new king, which led them to Jerusalem, and the word of God took them to Bethlehem. So they worshipped obediently. Next one, 7 letters. The hint is, if you think about O Come All Ye Faithful, we haven't sung it this morning. What's the second line of O Come All Ye Faithful? Joyful. So what's the missing word? Joyfully. When the wise men got to Bethlehem, we're told they saw the star stop at Bethlehem and they were overjoyed. Now, is anyone here overjoyed? Not sure. Too tired. That's actually a very weak translation. And in other versions of the Bible, it says they were overcome with joy. Or they were exceedingly joyful. They rejoiced greatly. This isn't just an English joy. This is a wonderful joy. They were overcome with joy. The sort of way you're overcome with a baby's born, or you get to the top of a mountain, or England gets to the semi-finals. It's joy that is a response to something amazing, something we really want to see. And we are promised that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about it all the time. He's forever saying, even if life's tough, be joyful, rejoice. Because God is working his purposes in us. We found the Shepherd King and we can rejoice. Next one. The clue is in the song we've just sang, in the chorus. So again, what's that? Eight letters? No, it's a shorter one. H ending in Y. Anyone found it in the chorus? Yes? Humbly. What happened to the wise men after they'd got to Bethlehem? They were filled with joy, and then on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. We don't do a lot of bowing down. Other translations say they knelt down. Others said they fell down. But these were men falling down in front of a little child. I don't know about you, I've got four grandchildren. I've never fallen down in front of any of them. They've fallen down in front of me. But what does it mean to fall down in front of a child? It's to recognise what we are in comparison. Because worship isn't about us. Worship is about how we respond to the God who's given us so much. How we respond to the Shepherd King. And the fourth one. Gee-ously. How do they give? Generously. They pack their bags. And they opened their bags and gave the most valuable things. There's lots of symbols involved with those things. But the lesson for us is our act of worship is to be obedient, to be joyful, to be humble, and to be generous. Not because of who we are, but because of this Saviour who we meet. So I said it was sad that the chief priests and the elders didn't go to Bethlehem. It's sad so many of our friends aren't here with us, worshipping the child at Bethlehem. But what we can do is follow what the wise men did, because this king is worth worshipping. And just go back to what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Everything without grumbling or arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. But look what happens. Then you will shine among them, that's our friends, our neighbours, like stars in the sky. If we worship the King obediently, joyfully, humbly, and generously, then we're working out God's good purpose, and we will shine like stars. And maybe that's our commitment for the year ahead, to respond to this great God with joy, with humility, with generosity, and with gladness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the great gift of the Shepherd King. Thank you for Jesus dying for us, to bring us back to a relationship with you. And we pray that our response to you will be to worship and adore and draw others to you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.